This morning we're going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to begin in verse 13. I titled the lesson, Always a Way Out, and you'll see why according to the verse. We need to realize that we always have a way out. In situations we face, there's always a way out. God provides. He says, beginning down in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. You know, when you read that verse, did you know there is no excuse to follow our temptations? There's no excuse. Now, I know we do that, that we get tempted in something, we follow what we want to do. You feel bad afterwards, you know, you feel miserable, you don't like it, you feel ashamed. We do that. But the move we generally make is we find somebody to blame other than ourselves. Well, one thing we've got to recognize is that that's not a right move. When you're tempted and you go off into sin, you're responsible. But when he begins to tell us that no temptation has overtaken you but is such as common to man, you know what? No one on the face of this earth is in a special position that is tempted more than any other common person. Nobody is. Temptations are common that we face. And that's what he wants us to know. But he really wants us to see is that, guess what? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. God is faithful. God will never, ever, ever put you in a position to fail. Never. God doesn't put people in positions so they will fail. That's not the kind of God He is. You know, the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness, you know, after He was baptized. And He was tempted of the devil. But you know what God knew? He knew Jesus was able. You go look at Job and the situation that Job was in. You know what God knew about Job? God spoke openly about Job that he was able. That Job was a righteous and he was a man. And God did not allow the temptation to go beyond, even though it was a struggle. God's faithful. God's faithful. And He's always faithful. Well, what about you and I? What about you and I when we're tempted to go do things, you know? What's God going to do? In every temptation, God provides a way out. He always provides a way out. You know what the problem is? We're not looking. We're faced with something, and we have to make a decision. And whatever this something is, it has stirred our desire. We want that. We want to do that. And so we began to look at it, and the next thing you know, we're doing what we wanted to do all along, and we knew the result wasn't going to be the best spiritually for us. You know what we don't do? We don't look for a way out. Because we're not looking for the faithfulness of God. God sits there and He promises, you got to make a choice. I'm tempted and I want to do this and I know it's probably not the best thing, but we keep looking at it, we keep visiting it until it reaches out and it grabs us. And what we lose? We lose the fact that God is faithful and the way out was there. We just didn't take it. And you can't blame anybody. You did it. But God's not putting us in that position because we'll fail. The problem lay is because we want to do it. It's our desires to do it. And sometimes, it can be very costly. It can be very, very, very costly. So you have to make a choice. Now let me tell you real quick before we go through the rest of this. Let me give you the situation at the church at Corinth. They were living, Corinth is a city that was full of idols. They had a religious service in that city of prostitutes. Yeah, it was religion. It was all around them. They had other religious services for these other idols and these other ideas. And what had happened is that the people of God, when they were converted to Christ Jesus, they were in this city and they realized, and you can find this back in chapter 8, they realized there's no such thing as an idol. An idol is nothing. It's stone. It's made by man. There's no power in that idol. So what they decided was, you know what? They're serving this food. There's some good food being cut up down here at this temple. We need to go to that temple and eat. And so they were going and they were over there eating in the temple. The problem was, they didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I mean, they were rubbing shoulders over here. Idolatry was all around them. And you know what they were convincing themselves of? They were strong. I can go rub shoulders with them. And Paul is concerned. Paul is concerned about what they're doing. And sometimes in the church today, I have some of the same concerns. I'm not Paul, but I have some of the same concerns that some of my brothers and sisters get just as close to rubbing elbows with everything that's going on around us, you know, and they're right over there and they think they're strong enough and they can handle it and it's wearing on you. It's doing something to you that you shouldn't be involved in. You shouldn't be rubbing shoulders in. I don't care how smart you are or how strong you think you are. They're there. There's a danger in it all, and that's why Paul writes. There is a danger in it. Even though there's no such thing as a temple and the idols of that temple, there's a danger by making yourself available to going over there. Now look, in the first four verses of chapter 10, Paul reminds the church, look at Israel as an example. Look back at verse 1 of chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. I mean, he's using baptism figuratively. We can see that. But you know what he says? They were all under the cloud. They passed through the sea. They were immersed figuratively into Moses. And Moses was a leader. You know, look at verse 3. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. They ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same drink. It was spiritual. They all had the same opportunities. The whole nation did. And he just lets us know that it was Christ that was the one behind the whole deal. When Moses and all of them were going about it. And so here you can have the same opportunity. It doesn't mean you're going to do right by it. So he says they had it. They could feast in it. But beginning in verse 5, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. They were killed. They died in the wilderness. And you know why they died? Even though they had the same opportunities, God was displeased with them. Let me share something with you real quick. All sin is a problem, and I think we will all agree to that. All sin's a problem to God. But I'm going to tell you, you can sin one time at the wrong time, and there can be drastic consequences to one sin. And we don't realize that. How would you like to have been standing with in that day when God brought them all the way up to the promised land and they sent the 12 spies into that land? They came back. 10 of the spies said, "It's not good. We can't do this." 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "The Lord told us He's given it in our hands. Let's go take it." You know what the nation decided? Let's kill Joshua and Caleb. We believe the other 10 spies. They sinned at the wrong time, and a nation was sent back into a wilderness to die. Now think about that one. All sin is bad. But you sin at the wrong time, and it can cost you eternally. Oh yeah. One sin can send you back to jail, send you to prison. One sin can cost your family everything at the wrong time. You and I need to be aware of that. God was not well pleased with them, and they died in a wilderness. God's serious about this. You and I can be in Jesus, and you can end up being lost. 5 of the 7 churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 were in deep trouble with Jesus Christ because they had gotten lazy, they had gotten off track, they were relying on the wrong things. 5 of them were in trouble. And 1 of them was about to lose a relationship entirely. You and I need to think about that. Oh, you don't need to be given in to sin. And you sure don't need to be given in sin at the wrong time. Well, beginning in verse 6, 6 on down through 10, He gives 5 examples. 5 examples that Christians can face. And you better be careful that you're not rubbing shoulders with other people and other things and their beliefs. You better not be doing it. Number 1, verse 6. "Now these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave." That's where it starts. Craving. I want to do that. I want to go there. I have this thing, this opportunity I want to do. He said, these are examples so we don't crave evil things as they crave. It starts with the craving first. Look at number 2, verse 7. "Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play." Idolaters. I mean, don't become idolaters, church. Don't put other things for God. Don't let other things get in your way. Don't let other things, you know. Moses came off that mountain. Numbers 32. He's up there 40 days. Those people had seen the Lord direct them. And he heard. He heard the music and the sounds. And he was so angry he would break 2 stones of tablets that God had cut with his own fingers. Idolaters! How in the world, church, do we go over to temples, idols? How do we go to these other places and think it doesn't affect us? In fact, you see it happening in the Church of Christ today. I'm wondering if we're getting more entertainment involved, that we stand up to play, we, you know, as he says in the verses here, they sit down to eat and drink and they stand up to play. I mean, that's what it's about, they thought.
And are we doing the same thing?
Hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you worship. It doesn't matter what God wants. It doesn't matter what pleases God or not. Hey, this is great. Same thing happening. And now worship becomes entertainment. Oh, it's dangerous. There's danger. Look at verse 8. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Immoral. Immorality is wrong. Any immorality is wrong. Choosing to go after immorality will cost you your soul. God told them not to intermarry with other nations. I don't want you to go and marry another nation. Don't you intermarry. You know what they did? Some of the men of Israel decided that they would start going over and visit the Moabite women. Moabite women, good looking, you know, they talk to, oh, I like this gal over here. You know what the next thing they're doing? They're following what those Moabite women did. And it upset Moses, it upset God. You know what God called for? He told Moses, all the leaders, kill them. Kill them with your sword, and he said, even if they're your brother, your own family. And they're killing the leaders. And during this process of all of this going on, here comes a young man holding the hand of a Moabite woman, and he walks right straight in front of all the people. He wants this woman to meet his mom and dad. And he comes in there and he brings her in. Phinehas, Aaron's son, he watched what this man was doing, and he went over and he grabbed a spear. And when they went into that tent, he went in right behind them, and he ran them both through, killed them both on the spot. 23,000 people lost their lives that day. Why? Because they didn't listen to God. They followed this idolatry. They followed this immorality. Oh, he said, brethren, church, we better not be doing that kind of nonsense. You better watch what you're getting yourself involved to. Look at verse 9. He said, nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Yeah, here's the next one. Don't you push the Lord. Don't you test Him. Don't you try God. Don't you think for a moment that you can outsmart Him. You can follow your own reasonings. You can follow your own thoughts. You can follow your own smarts, you know, and start craving wrong things. You gonna test me? That's what God says. You gonna test me? They did. They were griping. They were griping at the Lord and at Moses. This food that you gave us, it's loathsome. Oh, really? You're going to push it? Yeah, we want meat. You going to try the Lord? You going to push Him in these regards? Oh, don't you test the Lord. Don't you ever do it, church. And you think you get away with it? We're dealing with a real God and a real Savior. But look at verse 10, and I'm going to kind of tie these together. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Grumble. Do you know that's one of the easiest things to do? Did you know grumbling is one of the hardest things to fight against? People that grumble. It's easy to grumble. It's all around us, and some people, their nature is to grumble. They grumble about everything. I want you to hold this for a second and we'll come back. Come back to Numbers 21, if you would, please. Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21, there's this Canaanite king, you know. He's powerful. He's a strong king. Look what Israel does when they encounter him. Numbers 21, verse 1. When the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of the Atharim, he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then we will utterly destroy their cities. The Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered them up to the Canaanites.
Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Thus the name of the place was called Horma. The Lord helped them. The Lord heard them. And He answered their call and He gave them victory. And they did exactly what they vowed to the Lord that they'd do. Verse 4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. Uh-oh. Here the Lord has helped. They're leaving the area. And for some reason, the Lord wants them to go around Edom. It's going to be a little bit longer journey for them. And so what happens to the people? Impatient. There it comes. And when people get impatient, what generally happens? Irritable. Oh, when we're impatient, we get irritable easily, and it can set in easily. Verse 5, the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. They've taken up an attitude that's not good. And you know what's amazing? The Lord just helped them in a huge victory. The Lord heard their promises. The Lord heard their vows. And they wanted. And now they're asking God and Moses, why are you doing this? Why have you brought us out here through all of this mess? We hate this food. There's no food or water. Well, how do you think they've been living all this time? On air? Oh, they've been provided. When you get impatient, everything becomes distorted in the way you see things. Well, continue on. Look at verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. Yeah. You know what? You griping now, situation can get worse, and the Lord can make it worse. We need to remember that. Are you impatient about this? Well, we can go from there to something even worse, and now you thought what you had before, that's a little bit better, wasn't it? And now you're getting bit by these fiery serpents, verse 7. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we've spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that He may remove the serpents from us. Moses interceded for the people. I like that. Moses is a great man. Can you imagine people griping at you? And he turns and he prays for them. That's a great man. That's a godly man. He didn't take it personal. He sits down and he intercedes. And so the Lord has him put a standard up, you know, of a serpent. People look on it, they would be saved. Yeah, there's a way out. There's a way out of their temptation, but it cost lives. Come back, if you would, to Numbers 16. Real quick. There's three fellas, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These three fellas, they come and they gripe against the Lord and Moses. And Aaron too. And in their griping, look at verse 3. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? We've had enough of you, Moses. We've had enough of you, Aaron. Don't you know the Lord is among all of us? Boy, there's a question, there's a statement of a grumbler. We want you to recognize all the Lord's with us all. And He's trying to pull it all in. And now, why are you exalting yourself above the assembly of the Lord? We want you to give an answer. Continue on. Come down to verse 23. I'm just going to skip down there. They want to know. Now let me give a side thought. This will be free this morning. Sometimes in the church,
Elders have to make decisions. They're men. They have to do what they think is best for the whole. Some people don't like it. And you know what they do? They complain. They may not complain outwardly to others. Sometimes they do. And that starts stirring the people. And the next thing you know, and it happened in Israel. All it took was some people start this, and it starts passing through them all. Now we've got a whole lot of people involved in a whole lot of sins here. Well, what we forget in the church, behind those elders, is the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you're complaining against Him. I know there's decisions sometimes that we may not like it, but you know what God asks us to do? Respect and love and obey those men. Because the Lord's behind them. He didn't ask for your idea. So remember that. Remember that. With their griping at Moses and Aaron, verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Then Moses arose and went to Dathan and Abiram with the elders of Israel, all following him. You know what the Lord says? You better move away from these grumblers. Get away. Church, take note. People are going to start grumbling. There is a problem. Get away. Verse 31. Come on down. As he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, "The earth may swallow us up." Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Lord's had enough. Something's got to be done. And I want to tell you, church, we need to remember this. Paul's warning the church at Corinth, you better not be grumblers. You better not be craving evil. Israel did it, and look at the outcome of all of this. And I mean, these 250 men, they thought they were these real religious men. Oh, they're offering their offerings over there, and the Lord struck them down too. You've got Korah and his group. You got 250 men and his group, that group. We got a lot of people dying. And then God hits the rest of the nation with a plague. Look down at verse 41. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who caused the death of the Lord's people." Think about this. This is the next day. They had just fled the day before. Don't let the earth swallow us up. And now the very next day, they come and they start complaining. They are grumbling against Moses and Aaron. You're the ones that caused the death. People don't learn. Church, grumbling and complaining blinds you to really what's going on around. I can't believe that they all these lives are cost, and they witnessed it, and a day later we're griping again. See, grumbling is the easiest thing to do. But it is costly. There is a cost to it. Look down at verse 45. "Get away from among this congregation," this is the Lord talking, "that I may consume them instantly." Then they, that's they is Moses and Aaron, fell on their faces.
Moses and Aaron said, take your censers and put in the fire from the altar and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone forth from the Lord and the plague has begun. It's happened. There is a plague hitting this nation. And you know what? Let me ask you this. How many people in here, if you have people complaining against you, if you have people griping about you, how many of you would be willing to go and intercede and want the best for those people? That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? Moses and Aaron do. And they got to check this plague. Verse 45. Excuse me, 46. Let's go into 46. Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put it in the fire from the altar and lay incense on it, then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone forth from the Lord and the plague has begun. You know what happens? 14,700 people lost their lives that day. Plus Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those 250 men. And you know why they lost their lives? Grumbling. And Paul uses this. When you grumble, you're trying the Lord. You're pushing Him. You're asking for the Lord to take advance on you. You're asking that the Lord is going to be involved and you're going to end up, if you keep grumbling, you're going to pile sin upon sin and you get so blinded, you can't see how to get out of anything. You can't see you're in trouble and you just keep going till something has to give. 1 Corinthians 10, let's end this. First Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. The end of the ages. This is this covenant, new covenant. That's this New Testament system. Everything has culminated all the way through to this day and time, the culmination of the new covenant. And now here we are in the new covenant. What if we start picking up and doing the same thing? What's left for us? What do you think? They were written as an example. All the ages of the earth have come to this time and point. You want to push the Lord now? You want to grumble now? You want to be immoral now? Every one of us sitting in here this morning, you know what opportunity we have? To feast. To eat the things of the Lord. We have the same opportunity to drink the same spiritual drink. Yet guess what many times some choose? It's not good. Look at verse 12. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Church, we need to listen. It's easy to think that you're strong enough to handle it and you can go rub shoulders with idolatry and all this other stuff going on. You think, boy, you think you stand? You better take heed because you're about to fall. And we see it among our brethren. Arrogant. They think they're beyond anything happening. And they're right, and nobody's going to tell them they're wrong. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Yeah, we better be listening. And so you and I, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Hey, we can be tempted too. But at the end of these ages, you know what God's provided? His faithfulness will always provide you a way out. You don't have to grumble. You don't have to complain. You don't have to worry about a temptation coming. You need to look when you're tempted. Look away from your desire
and for the way out. And that's what He wants. Don't go the wrong way. And Paul's having to tell the church. You know, we live in a time religion is all around us. And man, there is false teaching everywhere. And everybody's using this and that. Don't think that you can go rubbing shoulders with all of that and incorporate it into your faith too. Better be careful. There's always a way out. And we need to know that. And you struggle with sin in your life. Sometimes you struggle with temptation. There's a way out. Lord knows that. If you'll be humble and take it. I mean, take heed so you won't fall. That's the advice.